Serenade you a little bit this morning. We had kind of an echo in here. Rufus was singing with his record that he made.
I don't know that tune, but
yeah,
yes, sir. 1980, something like that. Is when you did that.
That was about 1980. Yeah.
Yeah, when you were Attorney General for the Byrne Society.
J.C. Byrne Center.
Center, yeah.
At Byrne UNC Center. Chapel Hill. It still does a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And my friend Dr. Karen helped do that so much. And I love that song, but my mother said, I've said this before on the radio, she said, son, if you'd have sung a lot more Amazing Grace and a lot less Honky Tonk Angel, you might have been governor. I said, why'd you say that, Mama? She said, well, so Mama knows best.
You think that was it, huh?
Yeah.
That plus the barbecue.
Plus the barbecue,
yeah.
Comments, yeah.
Well, ain't nothing we can do about it now.
No.
Is that play? Keep playing the song. Well, that's an auspicious way to begin the program, I think. It's got lots of uplifting songs between the Beatles and Rufus. So, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Nels Cox is also with us this morning. You have a song you'd like to sing, young lady.
I'm going to pass.
How about Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I'll sing something about a garden party. Or I could sing the NCSU fight song.
Yeah. Doggone it. I thought, sure. Come on in. Come on in, Amanda.
Amanda.
Oh, Amanda.
We got her in.
Here, girlfriend. Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, you know, Amanda's another song that is a beautiful song.
That's true.
My grandfather used to sing Waylon Jennings to me all the time.
Oh, ooh, my goodness.
Wow, I love Waylon Jennings.
Oh, yes.
That was the one.
Hap Hansen talked about meeting Willie and Waylon out in Nashville one time, and he said they were wearing goat skin.
Oh, my goodness.
That bothered him.
Oh, me.
At any rate, Amanda Wilkins is here from the Lee County Cooperative Extension Service, and I'm
yes.
Sorry you got here later because you didn't get to hear Rufus open up the show singing Honky Tonk Angel.
Oh, I hate I missed that.
Have you heard that song? We sing that song before?
Oh, yes,
it's
sir.
I mean, it's the record and everything.
Yes, sir.
So we get requests for it occasionally. And
I think Jason likes it, too. Well, it
reminds
me
sure,
of
I'm sure
our friend, former Senator Charlie
Albertson. Yes.
Who's a good plant man, worked with the Agriculture Department for years, and from, I believe, around Beulahville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Duplin County. If you ride down 40 in a little while, Nelson, you'll see the Charlie Albertson Highway.
Yes, I will.
In Duplin County.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, we have to start with music, uplifting music.
Uh-huh.
And that was ours today. So, Mandy, you doing all right?
Yes, sir. I hate being late and you
that's all right. It's just kind of a free for all here.
Well, you know, I'm 33 weeks pregnant at this point, mm-hmm. and it's incredible how much of
it
how
changes
much
you.
Changes you. Yes.
Yeah, you're more tired, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you had a birthday. Congratulations!
I did.
Happy
yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Amanda. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, very y'all good. Are so well,
you Nelson, so you can sing.
You have this glow about you, too, Amanda.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
You mentioned Hap and his being scared about that fellow dressed up. One time I was at the Grand Ole Opry, and out of the dark came Buck Owens dressed up like a cow.
The Buck Owens.
Scared me to death.
He was dressed up like
well,
a cow?
He had a cowhide coat
on. Oh, okay, cowhide suit.
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
But it wasn't goat suit.
No, it was cowhide. Well, it was a Guernsey, I think.
Yeah. Hap said the goat smell, too. So.
It takes a special person to be able to pull off a cow suit, I have to say.
Well, Buck Owens could probably do it.
He was awesome.
Well, it was a cow cape. More, it wasn't exactly
a cape?
Yeah, a cape. Scary. Oh, my gosh, scary.
You wanted one, didn't you?
But oh, yeah. I wanted to run.
Hey,
Bakersfield, California. Oh. Buck Owens.
Yeah. Well, what a group we got in there now.
We do. Oh, it's so lovely to see you, Nelsa. Aww. And yeah. Congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
I think she's working harder now. Are you working harder now?
Lord, yeah.
See?
What?
I don't understand
it's
that.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun, though. I'm loving it. I'm at Logan's Garden Hut 2-3 days a week. You know, could have worked today, but I decided to do the radio show.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
My mom and I were supposed to go to the Daffodil Festival, but when our men and women made it to the Final Four, we decided, let's cheer for them, let's root for them, let's make that weekend.
Woo, go Pack.
So, yes, go Pack.
Hey, Lewis is with us from Rocky Mount. Lewis, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, all I can say is Dwight Yoakam's got nothing on you.
Lester, you be my agent?
You a honky-tonk man.
Yeah.
I can do a couple other songs, but that band, don't you think that Charlie Albertson band was wonderful?
Yeah, well, Charlie.
Yeah, loved all that, guys.
Senator Albertson had the chance to become a session player out in Nashville.
What?
Yeah, he was really good. Now on that song, he didn't play. He told me he didn't play lead; he played rhythm, but he was good.
Well, I gotta say, first off, that show y'all did yesterday about Cardiac Pack Look Back, that was excellent, absolutely brilliant. You gotta listen to it again. All that vintage tape y'all were playing, grasp how exciting that was. You can't put it into words. Tony and y'all did a great job with that.
I just am thankful that we're around to still talk about it. Look at the players. Players have really aged. Gosh. Makes me feel old.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Just overwhelmingly emotional. By the way, too, I spoke to Jamie Valvano on Monday after Saturday after win. She is over the moon about
bet.
It. We were like giddy school kids talking on the phone. And
yeah.
She said she's so loving it just to be a fan. But mm-hmm. We all know she's more than just a fan. But she is absolutely happy that this has happened again in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
She was just a little girl when it happened in 83, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was just tiny.
She went out in the hall at Albuquerque with her mom, Pam, and rubbed the wolf at Jimmy's suggestion when the clock was ticking down, and I get to work because they were out there rubbing the wolf and didn't even see Lorenzo slam it. So that she's still rubbing that little wolf, she said. She's rubbing it crazy right now.
I bet so. Mm.
But anyway, I just wanted and she also signed my white Converse baseball cap, put a big red V on the side of that.
Absolutely.
Supporting that today, all day long.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. I'm glad you shared that with us, Lewis.
Yeah, well, Lewis, I had a wonderful experience with Coach Valvano. He and I and Crockett Long and Don Shea, formed the Jim Valvano Kids Classic 31 mm-hmm. years ago mm-hmm. and raised over $6 million for the Duke Children's Hospital. And what a guy to work with. My goodness.
He had so much energy.
I'm an old Carolina boy, but I am so excited about this state game tonight.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm from a Duke family, And I told Jamie she's the only person that could make me glad Duke lost.
Nelson just showed me something.
Oh, Lord, goodness.
NC State dressed in blue.
Oh, man. I don't know how some NC State fans are going to look at that. That's just kind of weird. Where are the UNC people from?
I may black out.
I think that was my friend Penny Lewis posting a good luck to NC State.
Oh, okay. From a Carolina fan.
Best she could do is put some UNC Carolina clothes on a wolf.
Oh, there's a lot of craziness going on, isn't there, Lewis?
Yeah, I tell you what, everybody's getting their licks in, but right now it's down to the pack.
That's right. Go pack.
To the
go
ladies, pack. Too. The ladies really had a run, didn't they?
They tried. They tried last night, but it's come back next year and beat everybody.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, I just let you. I'm gonna let you go. I'm working at the the Rocky Mount Event Center now. We got a big volleyball tournament this weekend. I probably won't get by to see you guys on the 20th in Nashville, but our mutual friend Randy Shackleford is going to swing by and see you.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Well, everybody in Nashville says, hey.
I bet. Hey to them. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lewis.
Go Pack.
Go Pack. Yeah. Lewis's dad, about 60 some years ago, was the pastor of the Nashville Methodist Church.
Oh, goodness.
Where we were members as a kid in Nashville. So.
Are they the ones that sprinkle you?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess it was Mr. Musser.
Well, you know, the old saying up there in the mountains was that the Baptists duck you under and about drown you, Methodists sprinkle you, and you Episcopalians give a rain check.
Cross. Holy water on the forehead and a cross.
I have never heard that. I'm going to take that
rain
one
check.
Down.
I'm surprised you didn't have something involving alcohol and wine.
In the primitive Baptists, they take you down to the pond.
That's right.
Don't wear a white dress. You'll become nutty.
Oh, when I was a young man at Three Forks Baptist Church, they had a little pond out there. I've got a picture. In fact, in my book, if people want to go look at it, there's a picture of the old Three Forks Baptist Church, and the baptismal pond is right outside beside the church.
I'll be doggone.
Well, my farm is where they would bring, the church was a couple mile down the road, and so my grandmother's Primitive Baptist Church, but I can remember seeing them dunk them down in the pond, and they used to scare me.
Yeah, they're coming back up.
It is alarming.
You would hope for clear water.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Be nice. And no moccasins.
don't even mention it. It's been a good day so far.
So, yeah. So, Steve is with us in Garner. Hi, Steve.
Hey. I had a chance to talk to you earlier when I called to say hello to Jason last week. And I said, no, I'm going to drive down there and do it on the live. And you guys got so busy that...
Yeah, we didn't have much time to talk. I think everybody came at once. We were really getting stacked up there toward the end.
Yeah, you had a bunch of call-ins, too.
Yeah. Well, people get up later now than they used to when this thing was started. I mean, it's just a fact. People get up later. Everybody gets up later, except for me, Rigsby,
and
Nelson.
On Monday, but I paid for it on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, I'm glad you're able to get out there and do something, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, thank you so much for coming down there last week. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to chat with you.
That's okay. I wanted to see what that place looked like anyway.
Yeah, it's really interesting place. They've done a great job, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. The owner has a lot of ideas.
I saw an internet post that that Logan's is moving to this farmer's market.
Farmer's market. That's one of three locations. I don't know if they'll have any more, but there are three locations. One in Knightdale at a farm that they have restored that is really neat.
Grasshopper Farms.
Grasshopper Farms.
Oh, really?
And it's an old country store, and it was kind of the center of the community down there. And that has been restored. It's just unbelievable what they've done.
Yeah, that was the Broadwell store.
Broadwell store, yeah.
This is their second spring doing...
They had an ad in this magazine that they took over. They're cooperating with in Fuquay.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They bought Nelsa, Miss Nelsa's right. place, and now the farmer's market. And that was meant to be because that's where they started at the old farmer's market downtown. Mm-hmm. Or on.
Somebody took over that. That was a.
Oh yeah. Well, it was. There are a lot of people that wanted to, and luckily for Logan's, they got it. I'm sure there were a lot of great people who were bidding for it.
But anyway, this next Sunday, the 14th, is our next Day Lily meeting. It's at the Arboretum at 2 o'clock, and everybody's welcome to come. We'll have a program, and it's usually pretty interesting. Last week, we had last month we had a hybridizer there that had some really nice daylilies to bid on, and it's a good way to walk out of there with something pretty good priced, and you get first you know, the new introduction that
very
way.
Cool.
Yeah,
I tell you, Steve, you're talking about the J.C. Ralston Arboretum.
Yeah, J.C. Ralston Arboretum. Yeah, not the Asheville Arboretum.
Okay.
Well, there's the Arboretum in Pitt County. Mm-hmm. There's the UNC Arboretum up on UNC Chapel Hill's campus.
Yeah.
Is
there one in Fayetteville? Is there a Fayetteville Arboretum or Botanical Gardens?
The Sand Hills Community.
Well, there is one there. It seems like it's something in like Cape Fear.
Cape Fear Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, in Fayetteville.
Right.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I would commend everybody to see the Sand Hills Community College.
Yeah,
they have a good horticulture program down there, too, at the Community
yes,
College.
Yes, they do.
They've got a camellia selection.
I got a lot of, I've gotten some weeding done and some feeding done, and I'm in the process of trying to neaten up my garden to get it ready for blooming season.
Mm-hmm.
But my native azaleas are blooming, and man, The one I have will just absolutely knock you down.
I think everything is blooming well this year. I mean, extraordinary.
Yeah. It's been nice and cool and even keeled, and people always fret about the cold. But a lot of our plants.
I love the cold.
Right?
I just love it. I hate the hot.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier for plants to they waste a lot of energy trying to keep themselves cool. So when it is cool, they can spend a lot more energy putting out a good flower show and putting on good leaf show rather than just trying to keep cool.
Yeah.
There's some snowball viburnum that's on my way home in Garner that are just absolutely loaded.
Yeah, I've got some.
Those are the viburnum macrocephalums that are heavy now.
They're really showy.
The opalus, the sterile, those will come up probably in another couple weeks, but the viburnum
big head ones.
The big head ones. Which is what that translates
to. No, good. Go ahead and say it.
Macrocephalum.
Okay, there you go. I wanted to give you a chance.
I love that plant. I have talked about it so many times for the last 30 years on this show because, like, it's spring flowering, it's fall flowering. It's just amazing.
Yep.
Well, look up in the mountains at a lot of graveyards, family graveyards. You'll see a snowball.
And probably a dogwood.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the
symbolism.
Yeah, the symbolism there.
And I have a Korean spice viburnum that'll actually knock you down too.
That's so very fragrant. Yeah,
that is very fragrant. Anyway, I thought I'd just check in with you guys. Nice to see you last time.
Nice to see you. You're looking better and better, Steve. Looking more and more healthy.
I'm at the point now where I feel so much better that I overdo it.
Yeah. Well, we all do as we get older anyway.
You're right.
Well, some do. Some people are lazy. Some people don't do anything. But
I got to fall back on what the PT people at the hospital told me is energy conservation. Know when to stop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's smart. It's common sense, too.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Love you guys.
Well, you take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, we'll talk to Dave here in a minute. He sent me a photo of his problem that he's going to discuss. More of that coming up here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. All right, well, we're getting back on here now.
We're
going to do something. Don't talk with your mouth full.
Oh, really?
Well, we're talking about azaleas because it's azalea season.
Boy, I'll tell you, the azaleas are just extraordinary here.
Oh, man.
I hope they were wonderful. And I guess the Azalea Festival is this week.
Yes, it is. Yeah. In Wilmington. Yes.
So they
and coming up,
they probably bloomed a little too early for this week.
Coming up, they are getting earlier, but coming up Highwoods Boulevard, gosh, the George Tabor, beautiful.
Yeah. There's some really
those
pretty
are
ones
your
around
old
here.
Southern indicas, yeah. Right. Formosa. Yes.
Yep, got me some Formosa.
Rufus, where are there? Can you remember any houses around here or any places? I don't know what the governor's mansion looks like right now. Let's see, we broadcast there a couple of years ago, and I don't remember. I mean, it was in April.
It was.
Yeah, so I don't remember the azaleas. I don't know how many azaleas they have there.
It's lush with them.
Yeah, I
need to ride by there. Here's a flower with which you would be very familiar, Tijuana Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
already blooming.
Oh, wow, how about that? Yeah the Tijuana Sunrise, I think it is, mm-hmm. or something like that. It's a very reliable rose. It's just Rufus and I haven't had any problems with it at all.
Yeah,
it's
just
extraordinary pink
and
orange and yellow on it, and it's a very pretty one if you can find it.
I was before I came up here to North Carolina. I was the garden curator at the Mobile Botanical Garden. And if you've ever been to Mobile, Alabama, it's the city, the Azalea City. I mean, that's what they call themselves.
So.
And back in the 30s, Coca-Cola, one of the owners of Coca-Cola, had a fishing cabin down there. And it's now been turned into Bell and Grath Gardens. But in the 30s, he spent all this money buying all these different types of azaleas to plant in downtown Mobile. And they used to have an azalea festival, and they still have the azalea trail and the azalea trail maids. And my Facebook threw up a memory from, 7 years ago? And, oh, my goodness, the azalea garden at the Mobile Botanical Gardens. It was just, oh, man, it makes me miss Mobile, Alabama.
It's pretty place. I'm sure you've been there, Rufus.
I have.
Is there any place you haven't been?
Well, I've been
in the world.
I've only missed one state capital, and that's North Dakota.
Oh,
I just don't want to go to Fargo.
In Pierre? No, that's South.
Well, it's Fargo, I believe.
Fargo, yeah, it's Pierre, South Dakota.
And I've been to several nations in the world. When I was with Senator Irvin, he was on the Armed Services Committee, so we travel quite a bit to see installations here and there.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you one place in America that everybody ought to go see. Is Mackinac Island, Michigan.
Yeah, big hotel up there.
Yeah, the Mackinac Island Hotel has the largest porch in the world and more rocking chairs and hundreds of acres of lilacs.
Wow, that would be cool to see.
And I've got a native lilac that at home that must have been planted over 100 years ago that just is now blooming. I cut it back one time all the way to the ground because I thought it was dead.
Is it Miss Kim?
And up it is right now.
Probably
no,
not.
It's probably you know it's 100 like 100 years old.
Probably,
so it's probably
it's not Miss Kim.
What they grow up north.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm thinking it's just
the brooms are as big as your hand.
Yeah,
it's a ring of a
probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, hummingbird scouts are out looking for fueling stations, and drop by Wild Birds Unlimited and get what you need for that to bring them to your house. And to celebrate, our friends at Wild Birds Unlimited in Cary and Raleigh have given us a high-perch hummingbird feeder, a bottle of Netker. Sorry, I tried to say that. Netker.
What have you been drinking, boy? Nectar?
Nectar. And a 20-pound bag of their no-mess seed to keep the other birds happy. So if you want to win this nectar, just click on the banner on WPTF.com or go to our contest page at WPTF.com. Yeah, WPTF.com.
I was going to say, I saw a couple hummingbirds at the Garden Hut or at the Logan's Garden Hut this week.
Yeah. You did?
Yes.
Well,
I was surprised.
Good.
I was like, it's chilly.
That's good. Well, a lot of flowers around there. They were just,
true.
They were,
well,
they
that
sent
means
out
I'll
the scouts.
Get my hummingbird feeder there.
Yes.
And one thing that I was doing, don't do, I, I, I was using some honey to mix with the water. They say don't do that.
Yep.
Just use sugar.
Yes. Yeah.
Plain sugar.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
and change it often and clean it, is what they say, because hummingbirds are very particular. So Dave is with us. Dave, you sent a photo. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gardeners. How are you?
Fine.
Good morning.
What's your problem this morning?
Well, my problem is I have loropetalum. That last week you evolved into the annual loropetalum discussion with Rufus and his white and red ones.
Yes.
So I had one on either side of the driveway, and about, I don't know, 2 years ago or so, somebody's landscaper's trailer took one of the two out, and I went and got another one and replaced it in the exact same spot. And the replacement one really isn't growing. And so I don't think it's a soil type of an issue, because it's in the exact same spot as the other one that was growing nicely. But in 2 years, I've got, it might be a foot and a half tall on the one side. My wife seems to think that if I loosen the soil around the hole or the bed area, it'll allow the roots to grow further out and, flourish. I'm thinking maybe I got a different type of loropetalum from the original one, such that it's not growing at the same pace or even to the same height. So I keep them trimmed to be no taller than the mailbox, and also so they don't actually go onto or over the driveway. But in the picture that I sent you, it's the one on the left, obviously, that I'm having problems with. Do you have any suggestions for getting that thing to
well, you know,
or do I need to replace it altogether?
So, sorry, the landscape trailer took it out, but, like, how old is the larger one? Like, how many years has it been planted?
5 years.
Okay. So it'd be pretty hard to figure out what cultivar that one was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of yin and yang. It's tough to, try to find a replacement that is matching of the other one. So certainly it could be a lower cultivar. The other thing is just Mike sharing the photo with Amanda and myself. It's just hard to say. I mean, starting at the same size, possibly, but even that, I mean, most loropetalums are going to get huge, big.
Yeah.
So, they're pretty. I mean, the foliage and I see you have them tidy and I don't know if that's the right plant for that spot because it will continue to make you work. There are some lower ones, but. It's probably not going to catch up with the other one is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
But
it's really hard to tell what the cultivar is.
Yeah, plus, so I mean, if you were worried about compact soil or anything like that, I'm assuming the one that got run over was all pulled out. So I think the soil would be loose.
Yeah.
So
that was my assumption as well.
Yeah.
When you planted the one on the left, did you break up the root ball or did you just pluck it out of the pot and stick it in the ground?
No, I'm pretty good at fluffing up the roots a bit.
Good, okay, because that can sometimes slow plants down. When did you plant it? Because if the landscape trailer hit it, what time of year did you replant the other one?
That would have been a couple of falls ago, at least 2 falls ago.
Okay, so fall, it should be.
As fast as that plant grew, it should have taken off.
Well, that sounds to me like you got a dwarf.
Yeah, you might just and if it doesn't work out this year, because they should be putting on a flush of growth any moment now.
Right.
And if it's not putting out, 6 to 12 inches of growth, which most loropetalum, especially if they're happy, can flush out that much in a flush, you might get a dwarf cultivar that might never catch up with that one on the right, like Nelson said.
Now my boss Christine just said he should try a manure tea. My loropetalum, Christine's, had a similar issue after transplanting when they gave them manure tea.
I
manure tea.
I
Just listen carefully to the show and you'll get some.
Go ahead,
well,
Amanda.
So, okay, there's a lot to, okay, I don't know what she means by manure tea. There really isn't.
Was I supposed to read that, Christy?
Well, there is no shame in trying things at home. But there is no, like, I don't know what product she bought or if she made it herself or if she learned something off the internet. One of the challenges of using compost tea and manure tea, and just usually it takes steeping, like taking like a compost or manure, putting it in a bucket of water and letting it kind of steep like a tea bag, put it in a bucket of water, and then using whatever comes
I think
off
that's
of
how
that.
I got into this business. I had a manure tea and
I cannot speak
happened.
To that, Mike Rayley. But the challenge with that is you just don't know what you're getting out of that manure. You don't know what you're getting out of that compost. And there are bacteria and fungi that are useful in those products. That's one of the reasons why we're always encouraging folks to add organic matter, because you are enhancing that soil biome. But there are also some really nasty things that are in those products that can come out in that water and can become concentrated.
Not if you use black cow.
You can use compost and manure.
Well, compost manure and manure.
Well, black cow would do it.
Yeah. Well, but using that as a mulch, but not, you know, there's a lot of nuance to some of these products. And I always try and get to the bottom of what people are using, because some people, one person's compost tea is another person's manure, is another person's compost.
I've said that many times. I think Rufus has used that in a speech before. Dave,
oh,
you see
Lord
what you
mercy.
Did?
Lord of mercy.
No, I'm saying, thank goodness. This
but
is wonderful.
I always encourage folks to use actual, if they're trying to fertilize their plants, to use actual fertilizer, because that is a regulated product. Mm-hmm. You have to get a guaranteed analysis with that, so you always know what the nutritional values of that product are. Mm-hmm. And they have to be tested and they have to be labeled. If you're making your own stuff, sometimes it's good. I mean, it's a wee bit of a, no pun intended, crapshoot. But you can also.
That's great. It's, it's Pun
also,
City.
It really. This is gardening. It's just
so
Pun
good.
Central. They're so easy. But you can also end up really hurting your plants, because you can overapply some of those products. And what you end up thinking, oh, if a little bit is good, more is better. And it actually can backfire on you. And I really try to deter people from overdoing things like that. So applying black cow as a mulch, or just making sure the plants get enough water when we go through a drought, keeping the ground covered with, you know, even just triple shredder, whatever is enough. But
Dave, did you get all that?
I got all that. Since we're talking about stuff like teas, how about some of the fish fertilizer stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, the liquid fish fertilizer, would that help?
I mean,
fish emulsion, is that what it's called?
I think.
Yeah.
I think, like, even fish emulsions, and I'm not up on this the last 3-4 years, but.
Why?
Well, I'm. Hold your horse, buddy.
Hold your manure.
I mean, my understanding is that so many of the fish emulsions possibly. Had lead, a lead base.
Oh.
So is that, have you been kind of in on that? I'm sure it's more regulated. Maybe it's better now.
Yeah. It depends on where you get the product again. And
true.
And again, anything that is sold as a fertilizer product in the United States is regulated.
Right.
So I'm always telling my students and my clients, you ask for that guaranteed analysis. And that way you know what you're getting, because, yes, lead is an issue in our fish supply chain, depending on the farm that they're raised on and the system that they're raised on. And a lot of that has been corrected and regulated, but there's still people out there who aren't kind of following those regulations. And really, at the end of the day, it's really trying to protect folks from harming their plants.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave, if you want my old mountain boy advice, I'd dig up that little baby you got right now. put it in another place and go get me a Laura Pedlum that's like the one you already have thriving. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think I came to a conclusion about why I was talking about a white Laura Pedlum last week. I examined the bush, and I think
it's not a Laura Pedlum.
It's a separate plant.
Oh.
A separate root.
Well, cuttings get mixed up.
They get double stuck.
Yeah, I love that when it happens, too. It makes the plant so unusual.
Yeah.
All right.
You ever seen
we're not going to start talking pedlum? About this Vietnamese oak again, yes. Are we?
Well, we're going to talk about that. And Vietnamese evergreen.
Yeah.
And we're going to stump some people on it, and I still haven't convinced Nelsa that that's what it is.
It's a chionanthus.
Her mother had about as close as anybody came. She said, it looks like a bamboo plant to me because of the bark.
Yeah.
But we're going to do a little stumping again on that. So what do you think it is?
It's a chionanthus.
Oh, chionanthus.
Chionanthus.
Okay.
Wait, is that an evergreen Vietnam
maple?
Maple?
No.
Oh, well, that's what you're wrong again then.
Well, I want to see the
he
nature.
Wants you to be a Vietnamese maple, for goodness sake.
Did you get it from Mark Wethington?
Yes.
Oh, well, then it might just be one of them evergreen Vietnamese maples.
That's not the plant. That's not the same plant we're talking about, though.
Well, the one that we walked around, and I said, what is this? And you rattled off what you just rattled off.
Me and Pam were on the same page.
Yeah,
everybody else has been guessing for 2 years.
Right.
But Mark was not in the picture when you got that. That was 20-some years old.
It was about 10, 15, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting this plant then.
But I did get it from the Arboretum, I know that.
Okay.
Okay.
And I swear that Mark, I took a picture of it, showed Mark. Mark said, that's a Vietnam evergreen maple.
Mm-hmm. And he brought back, he did bring back some of those in some of his early collecting trips when he was first hired at the Arboretum.
Oh, okay.
So it's.
And I thought you said it just came up or you weren't sure.
No.
Yeah.
No, I acquired it.
All right.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for calling. Good luck.
I'm going to look at it again May 10th.
Have you made a lot of notes there?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I did make a lot of notes. I think I'm leaning toward Rufus's solution. I'm not too late in the season at this point to do that transplant and put something else in there, am I?
Oh, Lord, no.
No, and just make sure it has water for a while.
Got it.
Yeah. Dave, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, see you guys.
Now, this would be a great weekend for some gardening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's be cool. Perfect. Yeah.
And it's supposed to rain later in the week.
Yeah. We've been getting some rain weekly.
And go ahead and take those Christmas amaryllis bulbs and get them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple weeks.
And add some I Must Garden to it, too, to keep the pests away. You know, like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, I Must Garden is there to help. And it's that time of year, and hungry deer and rabbits visit our gardens looking to eat tender new growth. Wouldn't it be nice to see your garden flourishing free from nibbled leaves and trampled flowers? With I Must Garden deer and rabbit repellents, you can make that dream a reality. I Must Garden repellents are made from natural ingredients, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution for your plants and the environment and you too. The repellents are gentle on your garden, but tough on deer and rabbits, sending them elsewhere to eat. I Must Garden repellents are long-lasting, too. No more constantly reapplying after every rainfall or watering. I Must Garden provides protection that stands the test of time, so you can spend more time enjoying your garden and less time worrying about critter invasions. I Must Garden repellents are available all over the Triangle, including local garden centers like Southern States and Carrboro. And one of our many April hot buys include I Must Garden deer repellent. Protect your garden today with I Must Garden repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. I Must Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. Major Dave is with us from way up in the mountains of Virginia. Dave, good morning. Attention, Dave.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We didn't hear you at first for some reason. I wanted to make sure you were at attention.
Oh, yeah.
All right, at ease. So how are you doing this morning, Major?
I am quite wonderful.
Wonderful.
And I was listening last week, so I wanted to thank you all for the kind words. I wasn't able to call in, but I appreciate that. But I was in Raleigh recently, and I wanted to tell you about my visit with Phil Campbell over at Campbell Road Nursery.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Phil.
I finally got to go by and see her, and that place is awesome.
Yeah. It's a little village.
I went for tomato plants, but I got an education.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a good one.
I came away with some varieties of tomatoes I wanted to share with you because I've never heard of them, and I may have some cross-pollination problems, but I got Whopper, Pink Buckwheat Tie-Dye, San Marzano, Mortgage Lifter, Mountain Majesty, Early Girl Plus, Elk Kick, Prudence Purple, Better Boy Plus, Celebrity Plus, Dixie Golden Giant, Cherokee Purple, and Cherokee Chocolate.
Dear Cherokee
goodness.
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember when we just had Big Boy, Better Boy, and a couple of more?
Earlier.
Exactly.
Celebrity.
Well, there were two you mentioned. I mean, one, the San Marzano. That one has just never done well, and I've looked it up, researched it. I mean, I guess it has to do with the volcanic ash, whatever, in Italy. But there was another one I had not heard of. I think it was the fourth or fifth one you mentioned. But all the others, I mean, they're great. They're good to go.
Well, I picked up a Cherokee chocolate from Gerald yesterday.
Oh, good.
Cherokee chocolate.
I've never tried that.
Chocolate flavored, is it?
And we'll have it next week, the two Rufus plants.
Okay.
Mm. And I have also our friend from the mountains, the wonderful
Craig LaHouye,
is growing too. So we're going to have a bunch of Rufuses fighting one another.
That's good.
All right. Well, I hope one of them decides to grow over there.
Yeah, I hope one of them will grow up.
I do, too. I do, too. I have full faith in that. Dave, I hope you have great luck, too.
Well, it was well worth my time, and I left there, went to the farmer's market, and got to meet Gerald.
Okay.
Oh.
Well.
And he gave me a good deal on some plants. They apparently had suffered some cold the night before. The leaves were starting to curl. He didn't think they would sell well. So he gave me a good deal on some of those.
Great.
So I came home with a total of 30 plants.
Oh, my goodness.
Good gracious.
Oh, Lord. I hope you have a neighborhood friends.
I'm still starting seeds now, so these plants will be an early crop for me, and I'm very appreciative. But the knowledge that these people have just blows my mind.
I know.
And they don't have to look at a single notebook. It's all in their head.
That's right. That's right. That's something I have learned over the last almost 40 years.
So I encourage people if they have any curiosity about tomato plants at all, those two places, that would be the first places to start.
Yeah, and Craig LaHouye's book, Epic Tomatoes, is, I know Tom Campbell, our friend Tom Campbell, has given away a bunch of those things. He's bought them and given them to friends and relatives, and I gave him his first one. Just marvelous, marvelous people on this show.
And I've got to go outside. We put those blueberry bushes in the ground last week, and it's going to hit freezing tonight. So I got to go out and cover those.
Oh, well, be careful doing that. Don't fall. Yeah. Don't rupture anything. We only got about 20 seconds. I wish we had more time for you.
I wish we could have had lunch the other day, Dave.
Don't show that, Rufus.
I'll be back. Thanks, guys. No.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show, Major.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Bye. All right, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener. Boy, did we zip through an hour.
Wow.
Barely remember it, except for the manure tea. And we'll be back. That'll stand with me for a long time.
And we ended up...